Hey everybody, this is Tyler, aka Grand Lethal 16.
And I'm Johnny C303.
And welcome to episode 3 of the Digital Shinobi Podcast.
Yes, I'm excited about this one.
How are you? Thank you so much for joining us again, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to have you.
And as you probably have seen the tweets already, we are covering Infinity War. Spoilers abound in this episode.
Yeah, this definitely is not a spoiler-free zone, so if you haven't seen it, wait
You're
until
weird.
After. Yeah, right, it's like... Why would you have not seen it already?
Alrighty, so I saw Infinity War a week ago, and Johnny saw it about 8 days ago then, I'm guessing?
I think I saw it the day before you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
you had really seen it before you saw it. So just to explain to everyone, I'm always giving Tyler crap about this, but you're a guy that likes to seek out information before you watch something.
If I don't get to see it within 2 days, if I have the opportunity to see it immediately, I won't do it. But if I realize I'm not going to get to see it soon enough, I get a little antsy.
Yeah, and I would never do that. But I'm letting you live your life. You do what you do and what makes you happy, and you consumed it your way, and I consumed it mine. I saw it with fresh, nothing but the trailers. You knew a lot about what was going to happen before you ever even...
I read the breakdown on Wikipedia, and I had found some leaked footage on YouTube. Plus, I'd watched all the trailers and all the other footage that had been released, so I was moderately informed. I wasn't as informed as I was worried I was when Johnny got a little concerned for me, but, I'd only watched, a gross 2.5 minutes of the film, but it was all relatively... important scenes, if you will.
The main question is, did you still enjoy it?
Fuck yeah, I did.
I loved it. It was great.
We
all knew it was gonna be. It would have been hard to make this movie not awesome.
Well, yeah. They could have screwed up big time, but they didn't because it's Marvel and they seem to be pretty good about dedicating to doing it right. I was bummed that Ant-Man and Hawkeye weren't... Well, I was bummed Ant-Man wasn't in it. I mean, Hawkeye's cool, but I was just bummed Ant-Man wasn't in it. But that's okay. That is perfectly okay.
We're going to be getting more of him soon.
Yeah. Another month, right? Month and a half, and he'll be here. 2 months, rather. I don't know. There's a lot to say about the movie. If we were talking the good, well, I mean, Loki redeemed himself where he got choked the fuck out.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of started off with Loki... being more honorable than most of the time I can remember him ever being.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that scene. I thought it was insane when Thanos just handled the Hulk. That was like, I was like, oh, okay. That's a good measure of where we're at.
Did he punch him in the throat? I think he punched him in the throat because Hulk was grabbing his neck, stumbling back.
It was just nuts. I mean, we all know that Thanos is the big bad of big bads, right? But that just, like, I like what they did there. It was just to show you, it was like, yeah, you know Loki and Thor and Hulk, how powerful they are? Well, like, watch this. Hold my beer. And he just, embarrassed all three of them. Yeah. Killed one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm thinking what happened was, to be 100% honest, what I think happened is... Thor got caught off guard and then couldn't really fight all out because of all the Asgardians there, and that's what did him in. That's my guess, because Thanos handed him and, picked him up like a rag doll and said, I'm gonna pop his head. And the way I'm guessing it happened is they started attacking, they tore that ship apart, and he was in more of a damage control mindset, so he couldn't really unleash. Because Thor has a lot of powers, but let's be real, lightning is not a really precise... Well, I mean, it can be, but the way Thor uses his powers isn't particularly precise and without having collateral damage. He probably was playing at half speed and got his ass handed to him real quick. I mean...
It would make sense that he would try to stick around and cause as much of a distraction as he could while people tried to escape. And, that would fit with who he is.
For sure. And I think if most of the Asgardians that weren't getting killed as this was all happening were fleeing in the escape pods. Because it sounds like Korg, Meek, and Valkyrie hopped in escape pods with half the occupants and got the hell out of Dodge. Then he probably was getting a power decrease all along as these people are getting outside of range. Because, Odin said, Asgard is a people. So all these people are leaving, so his power levels could be, draining as they are escaping.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, just theoretically, I don't know.
It would make sense. I could see it being a thing.
Yeah.
But Loki's a hard one to really assess, even with his death, because, I mean, the first one, he's just jealous because Odin's a dick father. I mean, you know, every time there's a day he's a father, he's generally inadequate.
Yeah, bad fathers are a recurring theme among all of the tropes that you and I love, whether it's
God of War,
anime, sci-fi,
mythology, fantasy, Naruto,
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good,
just horrible fathers.
Indicator of sociopathic children, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see him. I mean, he kind of fucked up, though, when he was all like, oh, yeah, trickster god, crown prince of Jotunheim. I'm like, oh, no.
What was that dagger even going to do if it did connect?
Well, he was going to stick in his throat, and presuming it was sharp enough.
I just feel like it would have... Thanos, I feel like it would have just hit his throat and broken apart. It looked like the frailest little magical dagger. Just the cutest, it was most more adorable little thing in the world. It was like he's trying to poke him with a safety pin or something.
I mean, yeah, it was... I mean, it's not the Hulk, but the Hulk wasn't doing much. Who knows? I mean, if Brute doesn't work, maybe something piercing would. I mean, but it doesn't matter. What I will say, though, what is interesting is Thanos stops him with the just-acquired Space Stone. If you see when his arm and the dagger get stopped, it's covered in that blue energy, which means he stops it with space. So I guess this indicates that Space Stone can be used as teleportation, can be used as weaponry, as Red Skull used it. It can be used as a degree of a power source, and it can also be used as a way of stopping space and more of a telekinetic barrier you can use to, like, just stop things. Like, I think he uses it against Captain America, like, later in the movie, but we'll come back to that later. I mean, it just looks like there's a lot more uses than we realize for the Space Stone.
Right.
And then the Reality Stone is basically no uses. I mean, but, you know, that's just neither here nor there.
Shout out to our guy who, you know, went down like a hero, got Hulk out in the Bifrost one last time, took his lumps. R.I.P. Heimdall.
Yeah.
That was a really sad... That was just... Right when the movie started, you're just like, okay.
Everybody getting killed.
Wow.
They come to kill all your family today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to suck for Thor. I mean, seeing your people die like three times over, and your dad and your mom and your brother and your sister, like... I mean, and that really worked.
And your planet. Or,
yeah, and
or
your
whatever
planet,
you want to call it. Your plane of existence.
Yeah, he calls it planet in Thor Ragnarok, so I guess he's admitting it's a planet. I mean, they've gradually polished up some of the inconsistencies with the Thor movies. But yeah, I mean, it was also interesting to see Thanos do the slow burn with the Power Stone to blow up the Asgardian ship when he, like, half-detonates it, then leaves. But yeah, I mean, Hulk gets his ass kicked, Hulk gets sent away, which was cool. I mean, they did it in a really cool way, like that slow little Bifrost thing going away, kind of like the Silver Surfer, I guess, in the original comics. So that was done well. I mean, it gave him an easy transition over there. I really liked... I mean, that's it for the Thor part, right?
Yeah, yeah. We get to see Doctor Strange, who, as you know, is one of my favorites for just whatever reason. I like the idea of his character. I like his abilities. I liked the Doctor Strange movie.
And, and the ice cream was funny. Their favorite flavor is what? Hulka Hulka Burning Love? And then they don't like the Tony Stark flavor a lot.
They think it's chalky.
Yeah, it's chalky. Oh my god, that was killing me. I wonder how much they had to pay to like get that set up. I wonder if they paid anything or if that was just good advertising.
I'm sure Ben and Jerry's probably paid them.
Yeah, probably.
You know, to say, imagine how many people got to hear him say the words Ben and Jerry's. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you know heard or not. This movie, it turns out, a lot of people have seen it.
I know it's made a lot of money. As of the recording of this, which is 2:11 a.m. currently on 5/9/2018,
they're already over the billion mark. Well over the billion.
They're
mark.
Over at 1.1 billion. I think they're at like 1.15 billion.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
And China isn't out for like what, 3 or 4 more days.
They're doing okay on this one.
I don't think they'll break 2, but they're gonna get pretty freaking close.
Yeah, we'll see.
They'll taper off with Deadpool 2, you know, starts to hurt them, or what else is there? Is there anything else?
I don't know about in the immediate future, but that's probably the closest.
I mean,
one.
I guess Ant-Man will come out, and that might.
We already mentioned that, yeah. But anyways, we see Doctor Strange. They're back in New York. You know, the word gets out quick that like, hey guys, you know, this is really bad. It didn't mess around getting started, you know?
And the comedic quips were good. Like, they're talking about, Wong's like, I have some rupees, and he's like, how much does it come to? Like $1.15?
Oh, right, yeah.
And
they asking him what takeout he wanted.
Yeah, I will say that, their humor wasn't off point.
even that light stuff, because Doctor Strange isn't known for being a super comedic. Well, at least in their solo outing, the movie wasn't super comedic, but just that little bit of quips were funny. You know,
yeah. It was well, like, Wong has had that dry humor thing. That's yeah. part of his deal, you know.
Yeah, but when there's this many characters and they have little scenes and they're just getting it right there before they move to the bigger, I'm like, okay, good, good. You're starting off. This isn't weird. This isn't, you know, odd. It's funny. Now you're going to bring in more. Now we got Bruce, and Bruce moves quick, which is cool. I mean, not having him as the Hulk turned out to be kind of a good thing because we needed Bruce after only so much of him in Thor Ragnarok and not seen him since Age of Ultron, which was, what, 4 years ago?
That's an interesting point. I bet you that's part of why they did that, was to counterbalance the time that was spent as the Hulk
yeah.
in Ragnarok.
Saved him a little bit on the overhead, too.
Right, sure, yeah. There was a lot of things to budget for in this movie. Yeah. Any extra CGI, I could see how that could be a bit of a help.
Make plot reasons cheaper than, you know, it's easier to write a plot reason than pay for someone to CG a Hulk up for more than 90 seconds.
True that.
So what do we see? We see Hulk fall through, and then we shift over to Tony Stark and Pepper Potts running in the park.
Yeah. Poor Tony. Every time he's gonna, you know, buckle down and be the man he wants to be for Pepper and for his reasons, duty comes a calling.
But this time it seems like he wants to be a family. I mean, he's subtly hinting on having a kid, named after Morgan, who is one of his uncles in the old comics, which is weird because he mentions it as like his favorite uncle or her favorite uncle, when that guy was actually like a villain, one of the uninteresting Iron Man villains from back in the day who just, for business reasons, wanted to sabotage him and steal some money. But I guess in this universe, he was a favorite uncle, so whatever. He wants to have a kid. They're talking about it. She's like, no. He's like, come on, baby. Come on. Why don't we have dinner tonight? I'll give you some champagne, and we'll talk about this some more. You know, we'll discuss it. He's trying to pull that charm, and all of a sudden, Doctor Strange pops out a sling ring portal. Says, I need you to come with him. He's like, who the hell are you, man? He's like, trust me. This is not a big deal. Super important. They're not buying it. And then Bruce comes out the side around him for him. And he's like, hi, Tony. Hi, Pepper. And they, like, flip out. They, like, lose their shit. Pepper's like, oh, hi. How are you? Let me give you a hug. They're like, we haven't seen you in, like, 4 years, man. What's up? What's going on? And go back. And they're now in the Sanctum Sanctorum. Let's see. This is where they start giving the lowdown. This is, like, exposition. But it's okay because everyone else, the viewer, knows it. So it's not a... It's not like a bad kind of exposition. We all know what's going on. We've all seen the trailers and stuff. We know what's up. He's telling, hey, Thanos is out. He's coming. He's got two stones. He's got the Power Stone, which we've never seen. He's got the Space Stone, which we thought was covered and taken care of on Asgard. He's wrecked Asgard. Beat the crap out of Thor. Beat the crap out of me. And he's coming. And Tony, and this is funny, because this is one of those times when Tony goes, this is it. And he like says, hey, he was responsible. He's the one that sent Loki, and he did the incident. He did the attack on New York. And for once, Tony doesn't seem like the dick he seems like in Age of Ultron or crazy like he does in Iron Man 3. He's like, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is why I've been losing my shit for 4 years. This is the thing. You know, that PTSD is validated in full at this instant.
Right.
You know, he literally starts doing like some quad stretches leaning on the cosmos. Cauldron of the cosmos.
Yeah, Cauldron of the Cosmos.
Which gets him Doctor Strange's cape slapping him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he says is fair. You know, yeah. He's like, okay, that's, you know what, I'm not going to do anything about that. I had that coming. And, like, literally, he's like, what's the timetable? He's like, it could be in 2 minutes. Like, literally, this guy's got the Space Stone. We are effed. And it's just interesting because you see Tony thinking, and he pulls out the flip phone. And I saw a lot of reviews out there, but we're better than some of those people. You know, we do our homework. We pay attention. We watch all the MCU movies, don't we? And people are like, why is he got a flip phone? He's Tony Stark. He could have any phone in the world. Well, if you had paid attention during Captain America,
yeah, come on.
Also in the top seven movies of all time, I believe, or at least in the top 10.
Right. Well, it's like, at this point, if you haven't seen Civil at War, least most of the movies, like, what are you doing watching this?
I mean, God, that was Avengers 2.5, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So at the very end, after Captain America is bailing everyone out of the raft, you know, Ant-Man, Black Widow, Falcon, so on and so forth, and Hawkeye, he sends Tony a box with a flip phone in it. And this is when you get the Stanley cameo, and he's like, hey, are you Tony Stank? And, you know, it was when Rhodey was doing his rehab.
And basically that flip phone has one number on it. It's for Steve Rogers. Like, you know what? I'm really sorry. I should have told you about Bucky. We have a lot of things we need to resolve. You know, you're still my friend. And if you ever need me, call me.
It's so the burner.
Like, it's that bad that he's like, shit, I got to call the old man.
It's
like,
the burner.
Like, yep. He's like that hard up. He's that worried that he's like, I'm gonna swallow my pride, which Tony Stark, I think he might choke on a good couple times before he manages to get it down, but he's going to call Steve. But this is the moment when you hear a boom or you hear some disturbance or tremors outside. You see all this debris flying and you start seeing people screaming, running down the street. And this is something, before I throw this over to you, Johnny, I got to stress, in the comic books, I love how they do this because this is how it goes. In any given comic book, if you're not in the middle of a story arc, people are just doing their normal things. Suddenly there's exposition in one building with all these superheroes, and all of a sudden you hear a tremor. You see stuff flying by and people running, like, oh, well, it's New York. That's what happens. There's always an attack or something.
Yeah.
Sure enough, they go outside.
Yep. Then you've got the battle between them and Ebony Maw, which, as you know, we've talked about it a little off the pod. You know, he was easily my favorite of the four villainous children of Thanos, as they are in the comics, and in this movie I guess they were still basically referred to the same way.
Yeah,
they left it a little vague almost. It was kind of strange, but anyways, yeah, Ebony Maw was a terrific villain. I loved that fight. I thought it was a great way to kick off the movie.
I think he had Cole Obsidian with him too.
He did.
The dude with, it looked like a grappling scythe or a grappling hammer.
That guy was my least. He just didn't move the needle much for me.
It's okay.
Right.
He just made noises.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
He smashed a couple of things and you know, uppercutted one time or something. He
entered in Spider-Man because, you know, right around the time they see the attack and the attack starts, Peter Parker's doing the little Spidey sense with all his hairs on his arms standing up, and Ned comes in to give everyone a heart attack and give him a way to sneak out, and we get our Stan Lee cameo nice and early, which I appreciate because you need that early when the movie's still comedic before it gets heavy.
Yeah, that's a good point. They pretty much had nowhere else to probably put that except,
because there,
know,
is
the
no
first hour
comedic hook. Yeah, they knew this is going to be a first what do you call it? This is going to be act one. This is going to be a first act cameo.
Yeah,
because there will be no second or third act cameos for anyone. But yeah, he gets Ned to scare everyone on the bus, like, we're gonna die. There's a spaceship, you know. And then Stanley is the bus driver, and he's all like, oh, you punk kids, you never seen a spaceship attack, or you never seen a spaceship hit New York before? And it was really funny because that's such a normal thing in the Marvel universe,
yeah,
of the
right.
comics is, surprise, there's a spaceship that just landed in New York and everyone's freaking out.
Yeah.
Aliens are attacking.
You would have think they would have gotten used to it by now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least Peter seemed to be pretty chill with the whole thing.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, Spidey sense is going on. Oh, yep, look, there it is. Gotta go deal with this now.
Definitely. So we cut back to where Cull Obsidian and mainly just Ebony Maw are kicking some ass. You get to see, this is the first time you see Doctor Strange pull out more of the skills he's gotten since his solo outing. You really get to see how much he's developed and gotten finesse to his skills and using the sling ring to reflect projectile attacks at Ebony Maw, which doesn't sound that impressive, but it actually connects, so it's really cool. And then this is when you first see Tony Stark pull out what I'm guessing is their version of the Bleeding Edge armor for Iron Man. And it's pretty beautiful. It really is.
Oh, God. Yeah, when those four
a TARDIS repulsor
appear behind him, you're like, okay, this is amazing.
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, you know, they get Strange, and now this is one of my favorite sequences of the movie. Watching Spider-Man disappear into the upper atmosphere and, like, Tony going after him, how dire the situation is, like, the fact that they have to get in that ship to get Strange, the fact that Spider-Man is such a badass, but, you know, he could die from not being able to breathe. The way that he's just got reckless abandon, you know, just going for it. The way he gets the Iron Spider, like, just...
Oh, that was cool.
All of this stuff happens so quick. And, you know, to go from the Earth to in space on the ship. And it was just like, that was a really adrenaline-packed part for me. And I loved that part.
Oh, yeah. How did the suit hit him? Do you remember? Was it a nano kind of technology? Because I swear it hit him straight in the back and just formed around him, but...
Yeah, basically. Huh. Anyways.
That's, okay, whatever. Cool. I guess the nanotechnology would be a good out if they ever do get Venom in a non-Sony capacity. then having it be some kind of organic thing that can also form with nanotechnology is the best way to explain it. I mean,
sure.
Whenever. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid we get Secret Wars. Anyway, getting a little off topic. So they're heading into the stratosphere, whatever. Doctor Strange is inside the ship. Cole Obsidian is in Antarctica, maybe. I don't know where they threw him through that thing ring where he lost his arm.
Yeah.
Bruce,
yeah, that was awesome.
Bruce
is I assumed it was Everest, since that was where. Remember in Doctor Strange when she sends him to Everest?
Do the homies like that? Drop him with the at the other sanct or drop him? Oh, that would suck. Surprise, magicians! There's a alien monster here. You might have to take care of.
Yeah, whatever.
I guess we'll see. But yeah, Tony has Pepper on the phone. She's like, "Where are you? Oh my God, Tony, are you on that ship that's leaving? Oh, what did I tell you? Get back here!" And it sounds really tense and. It's kind of the scene you expected at the end of Avengers when he went through the last black hole.
So. Right, and I mean, that's a good point, because I have to admit, like, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, come on, Pepper, like, you know, if the world is, if everyone dies, you can't have a relationship with him anyway, like, he needs to do this. But you actually just brought up a really good point that I didn't think of until just now, which is she has been through this exact thing before. She has literally watched almost the identical thing happen, and this time she's putting her foot down and she's like, no, like, do not do this again, because she knows how Tony is.
Mm-hmm. And nonetheless, he does it.
Because that's how he is.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man stows away on the ship, so we have Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Spider-Man going up in space with Ebony Maw. Bruce Banner and Wong are left. Wong says, hey, no one's guarding the Sanctum Sanctorum, so that's what I'm doing. I guess I'm not getting my sandwich or falafel or whatever Doctor Strange was going to get. Bruce is all like, well, I've got the flip phone. I guess I'm calling Steve Rogers. And do we go to Guardians of the Galaxy now, or do we go to Edinburgh?
It doesn't matter. We don't have to recap everything perfectly, you know, whatever. Like, just go to the moments, right? Yeah, I guess this is where we find out that Vision is off with Scarlet Witch. And they're off, they're not off the grid, but kind of.
They're traveling, you know, having a romantic time in Europe.
When they were like, oh yeah, we can't contact Vision, I was like, really? Really, though?
Well, I mean, well, here's the thing. If he could burn Ultron out of the internet, he could probably make himself anonymously invisible on it. I mean,
and yeah, but it's just so, thing, it's just so damn irresponsible, you know?
We have the Mind Stone out there, another Infinity Stone, just chilling,
yeah.
Dating his girlfriend in Scotland, you know, no big deal, or right. I think that's in Scotland, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry, you know, just, we've got all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s technology, all the U.S. military, Wakandan, you know, technology, but we can't find this guy.
Which is kind of cool, I mean, that he can...
It's cool that he can do it, but it's just like, I get why they had to do it, but...
Comic book.
Right.
Stuff.
Yeah, there's already, you know, if we're going to play this game, there's already so many things. It's like, why didn't they just throw the first stone out into space when, you know, Thanos came to, like, destroy the Asgardian ship or whatever? We could do that all day, so it is what it is. He's out there. He's out in Scotland. He's with his girl. And then
he gets that headache because he gets that disturbance in the Force.
Yeah, right.
Because I think he realizes stones are coming together. He probably senses it since there's a stone in his head.
Well, later on he can sense when, you know, who arrives, so.
Yeah. And they go outside. They're planning on missing a plane. They haven't checked in with the Cap in a while, I guess, or whoever. They don't really specify. And then they get attacked. Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive come out of nowhere and attack them. And it's a pretty interesting fight. I mean, I didn't really realize how impressive Scarlet Witch had become, because her power set always seems to be shifting. Sometimes she's a telekinetic, sometimes she has the sort of hex bolts, sometimes she can do all kinds of things. But she's clearly getting pretty impressive. She's taken on Proxima Midnight decently. She's kind of getting her butt kicked a little bit. They're fighting on the rooftops in the streets.
Rooftops were super cool. Loved that part.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, like I was pretty impressed. Vision gets impaled by Corvus Glaive's blade, I think. And they get knocked into a train station, which I guess in Europe there's a ton of train stations, so that's not such a weird thing that
Yeah, of course.
They end up in one. They're trying to get the stone out of his head, and I believe that's when they hear something across the train tracks right as the train is going across, and that's when the Cap, with his new beard, with his dark uniform, with his depressed, brooding gaze,
emo cap.
Yep, makes his appearance. I guess this is as close as we're getting to Nomad. They didn't call him it, but he sure looks like it.
Yeah.
Minus the weird yellow stuff and the sleeved, cuffed boots from the 70s. This is as good as it's going to get, and it is great. He looks really cool when he comes out. I went to – there was only 10 people in my showing, I think, so I don't think there was anyone applauding, but I've heard that a lot of people freaked out during that moment in most big showings. And, yeah, he kicks a lot of ass. I was impressed. I didn't realize – this is the first time we really see Cap one-on-one-ing legitimate aliens, and he's impressive. I didn't really know how peak human form enhanced takes on aliens, but it's not disappointing. Black Widow kicks ass against Proxima Midnight. She's handling her in one-on-one combat as well. And then Falcon comes in to kick him, but that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Good fight. Good stuff. Oh, yeah.
I think honestly the Vision Scarlet Witch portion was more impressive in like a scope, scale, and length. And that part at the end was just them taking care of it. Anyway, Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight bail. They phase back into their ship and they jet off because they haven't managed to get in. Corvus Glaive is pretty badly hurt.
They take a proverbial L.
Yes, they do. They take the L, and then our heroes take Vision back to the Avengers facility in upstate New York, the one that Peter was supposed to make his debut as the Iron Spider, but declined at the end of Spider-Man: Homecoming. Sorry, it just occurred to me.
You were always going to prod at me. Everyone else has seen
Spider-Man: Homecoming, Johnny.
Just a quick aside for the listeners. It's probably been mentioned before, but I have not seen Spider-Man: Homecoming. Yes, I know. It's not acceptable. I'm trying to get it fixed. And Tyler will just never let me forget until I get it watched that I haven't seen it.
But I watched it the other day. Wasn't a big deal. Watched it over 2 hours with my girlfriend. Just a Monday night, Tuesday morning at 4 a.m. No big deal. Anyone can do it.
So much shade.
And then, so anyway, they head to the Avengers facility. And this is funny. I mean, you see James Rhodes, Rhodey. They're talking to Secretary of State now, Thaddeus Ross.
Hologram Secretary of State.
And he's got all his White House people there, and they're like all sitting at this table, and it's all like hologram, and he's talking about, well, where are these guys? You know, what's going on? You know, and there was an alien ship that just attacked. Where's Tony? If you see on the news before they head to the Avengers facility, I believe there's like some news thing that says there's an alien attack in New York, and Tony Stark is missing. Go figure, right? So they all walk in, and the hologram of Ross is like, Rhodes, you need to arrest all of these people now. And he's like, okay, yeah, and he wipes him away like an app. He just wipes the hologram right out of there.
And he's like, yeah, that's a court-martial. Whatevs. Yeah,
I guess I'm with you guys NBD. For the long haul. You know? At this point, Bruce comes around the corner, and we get our awkward Black Widow and Bruce Banner moment.
How you doing? Been a while.
Yeah, there's a lot of looks, not a lot of talking, because there isn't much you can explain for 3 years absence, you know, post-Sokovia battle. And it's funny because we have Falcon, who I said it was awkward, but Falcon says it in the movie. He's like, this is awkward, you know, like literally, in case anyone didn't know that
he had to be the avatar for the audience,
which
right?
is fine. You know, it was funny. It was good. And it's weird. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and someone said that they think the reason it was Falcon says it's awkward is because Black Widow and Cap are dating. And I, no offense to the dude, I'm not going to say what the podcast was, but I'm pretty sure Cap is dating Sharon Carter, you know, Agent Carter's daughter. So I think this person was a little whack, but I just need to bring that up because people out there putting out ridiculous information makes no damn sense. So just resolve that. No, I don't think he's dating Black Widow. I don't think Black Widow's dating anyone. Bruce Banner can't transform, and they're all like, hey, you know what? What are we going to do about all this stuff going on? Vision needs healing. His body's made of vibranium. Who's good with vibranium? And then you hear some of that tribal African jungle beats come in. You know, in case people couldn't figure it out or, you know, didn't see a trailer at all, you know, they're going to put some African beats in there. Totally cool. And we shift over to...
That Wakanda. By the way, that throat clear was to show Tyler that I'm wearing my T'Challa shirt again.
He's wearing his fly dark blue T'Challa vibranium suit t-shirt.
Yeah.
Pretty badass. At this point, I believe we don't actually see Wakanda, and we go back to space. Big capital letters all across the screen. Best title card or transition card ever. Remember, it was literally D taking up 90% of the screen, just big old bold letter space. Everyone's in the, again, entirely somehow repaired, replaced, rejuvenated Milano. And the spinners, Rubber Band Man, is playing. Johnny, you want to summarize for a while?
Well, all I know is you've never seen any... How did the lyrics of that song go? When the Rubber Band Man starts to jam.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you have Peter, of course, jamming because he does. And then they transition down. He's like, Drax, take it away. Drax is snoring. Drax is snoring.
Right. You think he's singing for maybe a second? No.
And you realize, no, he's not crooning with his head up high. He's snoring.
Yeah.
And then so Drax. And then you see Gamora, who's actually singing along. And this is your first kind of hint that maybe they're in a relationship or she's gotten a lot warmer to him besides the end of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, because she's, like, fully into it, too. I mean, she's not going as ridiculous as him, but she's singing along. She's
just the fact she's singing it all.
She's indulging his musical ridiculousness is pretty indicative.
Yeah.
And this is where they talk about how they're going to go. They're going to help out these Asgardian refugees they heard about on the SOS that comes during the Marvel opening. So they do a cold opening as usual, and I got to rewind. So when they're showing all of the Marvel heroes in that little opening they've been doing since Doctor Strange, which surely has that music, they have the radio SOS going out for the Asgardian refugee ship saying, hey, we're being attacked. There's no soldiers on board. It's just women and children. Please don't assault us. Please, if anyone can come help us. So now the Guardians are finally responding to it, and they're like, yeah, we're going to go help them, and maybe they'll pay us. And if they don't, we'll steal their ship and kill them. You know, and then Peter's like, yeah, we will. And then he looks at Gamora, he's like, no, we won't. He's like, shh, guys, come on now. You know, so clearly he a little whipped. He got an answer for his behavior now. So they're clearly in a relationship. They come out of space just like in the trailer. It's bodies everywhere. Bodies floating in space. They hit Thor. They realize he's still alive because he has one eye. His eye, like, half open and starts looking through the glass at him. So they pull him in. And it's interesting because you see, this is where it varies a little bit from the trailer. Mantis is like reading all of his emotions and stuff. So, like, yeah, he's grieving, he's sad, he's experiencing anguish. You know, all these people just died. He's got all this anger. He's got like all these intense emotions. This is where Drax gets a little kind of weird. Starts feeling Thor a little bit, loving the muscles, calling him a man.
Yeah, call it out, throwing hella shade at Peter, basically. They tell intentionally him that or unintentionally.
They said he gotten fat. I don't know if this is like a Marvel little thing to hint at Chris Pratt to hit the gym. I don't know. He says he'll buy a Bowflex. We'll see. Raccoon reminds him that he can't eat dumbbells. So we got everything, all the cracks on Chris Pratt gaining weight. And then Gamora's feeling his muscles, loves it too. Mantis wakes him up. He gives exposition, but it's okay, because again, we've seen all this stuff. It's just bringing the characters up to board. It isn't a doubly used purpose here of expositing for our benefit, unless you went to the bathroom by this point. But yeah, he's saying, hey, everyone got attacked. They got killed. Everyone's dead. Talks about going to the dwarfin place. Is it Nita Valir or something like that? Or they all sound the same, honestly. Some kind of dwarf forgery where his hammer Mjolnir was made. And Rocket's like, what? Nita Valir, that's just a myth. He's like, no, it's a real place. He's like, they made the most amazing, you know, murderous death weapons of all time. I'm definitely going. Groot, you in? Groot's playing Space Invaders ripoff.
Yeah, he just doesn't care about anything. Typical teenager.
Oh, yeah. And it's probably from Peter's bag of 80s stuff that he brought with him when he got abducted because, you know, I don't know how else it got there. But he's been playing that. He's still playing it, walks on the ship. Thor takes, I don't know, Gamora and Peter's backpack, grabs a ton of stuff. Supplies some of their food and hops on the pod with them, says bye morons, and they're out. Yeah,
and just like that, they split the party.
Yep, which is fine, you know, that's fine, because honestly Thor with all of the Guardians at the same time might have been a little much to juggle. That's a lot of personalities there. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so right around now Thor leaves and they decide they need to head. He has told them about Thanos, says Thanos has two of the stones and that he's going for Earth, but Thanos is going for, like, the Reality Stone, I guess, because I think Thanos
said he's got to go to nowhere.
Yep, he's going to nowhere. They're like, fine, that's great. It's nowhere. So if it's nowhere, then no one will find it. And they're like, no, it's at nowhere, because Thor doesn't know what that means.
Yeah.
And then Gamora has a heart-to-heart with Peter, and this is the other time you realize they're in a relationship. She's like, hey, if Thanos gets his hands on me, you got to kill me. And Peter is, like, emotionally, clearly, obviously not really capable of doing so, but she makes him promise. They head off to nowhere. And yeah, this is one of those interesting parts. This is where you finally see another stone used that we haven't seen much of any use of so far.
Yeah, the scene in Nowhere was another one of my favorites. you've mentioned it before when, you know, when we were talking about the movie the day after we both saw it, basically, how much Thanos sold it. Like, it's just really twisting the knife. Yeah, so Thanos just really sells this. I started to realize about halfway through the scene that something was wrong, you know, and yeah, what ensues is they really were playing with our emotions a lot, you know? Like, you have Peter finally nut up to shoot his girl, and bubbles come out. And suddenly you realize
it subverts the entire scene, all that emotion.
You just like, oh, yeah, check it out. It's on fire, and everything's destroyed. And I,
like, it looked pretty effed up. Like, the place was kind of in ruins, but it wasn't purging
a civilization. It was freshly in ruins. Yeah,
it was, like, it was moderate. It was like ruins of Greek architecture bad, but it wasn't Pompeo bad, but it was. yeah, he totally fakes us. I loved how he has the collector. He, like, throws him in that little collection pod thingy, and then when he's wiping him away, the collector's waving bye, because he was just an illusion anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, Gamora attacks and, like, stabs and thinks she kills him and immediately breaks down and starts sobbing when she thinks she's put his dad out. Because he does sell. Like, he gets stabbed in the throat and the chest. And then he, like, stumbles back and, like, acts the shit out of the scene.
Right.
And you really wonder, because you don't – I mean, there's a lot of depth. I mean, you got to wonder, is he part sociopath? Because there's a little bit of, Jesus, Thanos, was this necessary? Like, it's great for a movie, but he, like, literally dies in front of her slowly with ragged breath and, like, trying to say words as he's bleeding and then, like, waves it all away.
I think you have to be a pretty not normal dude to want to wipe out half of everyone that exists, so –
And then play on your daughter's emotions when she thinks she killed you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of – there's nuances here.
And, sure. You know, and let's just get right to it, right? And torture one of your other daughter.
Yeah, for sure.
Gosh, that was brutal.
Oh, yeah. But so we – Thanos waves away basically the Reality Stone's usage here, and we see that he is perfectly fine and already has the Reality Stone in his gauntlet as well. By the way, the Xandarian attack is not shown. I guess it was filmed, but they wiped it because of time constraints. Thank God, I guess. And Thanos... So then Drax and Mantis both try to attack. I don't know how Mantis is going to. Oh, you also notice she has a very weird battle pose. She crouches over. She interlocks her fingers and does this weird kind of Kung Fu Mantis...
Mantis style
stance. Yeah. And it's the weirdest thing because she holds her hands together like they're I don't even know what, and she just I don't know, it's weird. We'll send a link to like a Google image. It's just the weirdest thing. She gets turned to like slinky
spirals. We
probably
won't send a link to the Google image.
I might. I don't know. No, I won't.
Sometimes you make promises that I'm like, I don't know.
I'm doing it. You know what? People, step up. Nut up. Do it yourself. Anyway. Just put it like Mantis. Never mind. I don't know how you'd even search that.
The Mantis fighting stance.
No, Mantis fighting stance MCU and see what you get.
Yeah. Or Infinity off. War Mantis fighting stance. We don't need to tell you how to Google. You guys know how the internet
big
works.
Big kids. Yeah, you found us. You know how to Google.
You're big boys and girls.
Anyway, Drax gets turned into like clay blocks. He gets just turned into blocks. Mantis gets turned into like slinky pieces. And then Thanos, you know, catches Gamora. And it's weird because... This is how you know he's scary. I mean, besides him throat-punching Hulk and beating the crap and knocking him unconscious and beating up Thor and probably killing a lot of Asgardians, he grabs Gamora, and then Gamora's like, you gotta kill him. And he's got her. He's got her in, like, some kind of maybe headlockish kind of thing. She ain't getting away. And obviously, since she just thought she killed him and realized she didn't, she's probably emotionally compromised before she got captured and knows the implications of that. She's telling Peter to shoot him. And Thanos literally walks Gamora up to right in front of Peter where that gun is like a foot away, maybe a few inches, like, go ahead, do it. And, you know, he's referring to him as the boyfriend. And, you know, Peter's like, actually, I consider myself Titan murdering booty call, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
but, you know,
right.
Still being Star-Lord.
Yep.
Anyway, you know, Peter finally... gets the emotional fortitude and apologizes, like begs or tells her, I told you to go right like 5 times, and then finally pulls a trigger and bubbles come out.
Yeah.
Because Thanos has that reality stone lit up on that gauntlet.
Like we mentioned. Yep.
He looks at Peter and says,
shocking.
Oh yeah. He looks at Peter and he says, I like you. And I don't think of it as the best kind of compliment. given the context of why he's saying it, because Peter was actually going to kill Gamora to save the universe from Thanos' plans. Uses the space stone and gets them out of there. Just leaves. You see Mantis and Drax come back from their weird kind of altered reality state, reality stone forms, which gives us an indication of one thing.
Thanos has Gamora. He takes her to the planet. I don't remember the name of it. I think it's like Nidavellir, but all those planets are sounding funky and the same to me. He takes her to a planet to get where the Soul Stone is kept after he threatens to torture Nebula, and kind of does because he doesn't really care on his ship. We see more that
Thanos... Well, real quick, let's not understate that, like, tortures Nebula.
Yeah,
like,
she's
oh
in
my
pieces.
God.
Like, she's hanging marionette style by all those components and pieces of her body.
That was a very jarring scene.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it was. Yeah, if Nebula hadn't had two Guardians of the Galaxy movies to explain what he does to her, I would be a little bit, you know, turned off. And it's weird seeing how affectionate he is to Gamora, brings her some food and stuff, and then he's, like, got Nebula hanging in the racks. It's a weird...
Just goes to show more of that dysfunctional family structure they've had for, you know, ever, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's see, what else happens?
Which, by the way, hats off to Thanos. Like, he couldn't have caught Gamora at a more insecure time about her relationship with her sister. I feel like pre-Guardians of the Galaxy, Gamora would have just been like, yeah, whatever, not giving you the Soul Stone.
Definitely pre-Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 ending, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. She takes him to the planet, and there they run into the Red Skull. He's back after...
Is that the Red Skull's music?
Yeah, after about 13 movies, he's finally made his triumphant or, you know, moderate cameo.
I don't know if it's triumphant.
Yeah, you know.
His cursed for eternity return to the screen, yeah.
He probably wants to know how his Fuhrer did back in the rest of the war, but I think he also knows how it went.
Yeah, he probably
knew. Or he would have tried to get back.
The tide had turned.
Yeah, it was a wrap. And he tells Thanos that in order to get the Soul Stone, a person has to sacrifice a soul to get the Soul Stone. And it has to be someone you love. And you see, like, all this emotion on Thanos' face. And, you know, if you hadn't spoiled it like I had, you're wondering what's going to happen. And Gamora ain't getting it. She's talking all that good.
See, I hadn't spoiled it for myself, and I knew immediately. Even before she started in with the, like, ha ha, you don't love anything.
I was just to see you fail.
Oh, both. God. The sense of dread in the theater was just like, oh, no.
Were there people in your showing?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of people when I saw
like,
it, yeah.
I was among 10 people, I think.
Yeah.
So mine was. Were people making noise? Were like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Actually, the whole theater was just dead silent. And I think most people put it together really quick what was about to happen.
Gamora was like the last one, too. And that was a bad time. I mean, she couldn't have escaped. He has the space stone. So even if she runs, he can like teleport from her.
Yeah, it was a wrap.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I don't want to say, dare I say, it was funny. But Red Skull, like, when Thanos is staring away, like, crying, he goes, you know, those tears aren't for him. And then she realized, but it's too late because he grabs that arm with that Thanos grip and he throws her over. And
yep.
Yeah, she eats it and he wakes up. And then this like vortex of like soulstone colored cloudness comes out of the heavens above the cliff. And then he wakes up just at the base. In
back
water
where they started. Yep.
With the stone in his hand. It's the weirdest thing. Honestly, the soulstone and reality stones are the ones that have the weirdest disconnect because the reality stone looked so badass in Thor the Dark World. I don't know what the hell its power set was, but it looked like it could do cool shit. And the Soul Stone probably can too, but you don't see that yet, other than like maybe the end of the movie, and I don't know. But yeah, after that, we see Thor, Groot, the Eitri, the Dwarven King that is the only dude left of the dwarves that Thanos didn't kill, and Rocket, and they make an axe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Thor takes like basically the entire brutality of a sun's force. No big deal. All in a day's work.
Oh, yeah. He reignites a sun, basically, and then...
What, you've never done that before?
No, not really.
Yeah. No. It wasn't a big deal for him.
No sunscreen like... either. He just, you know, he did it.
Yeah, no SPF 30.
And then Groot decides to use his arm to make the axe handle and put it all together.
So badass.
Cool. Made no sense, because Groot hadn't really bonded with Thor, but whatever, was still pretty cool.
It was more just like he snapped out of his teenage malaise.
Yeah. All he had been doing, real talk, all he'd been doing was playing Space Invaders the whole movie. So this was like the first time Groot did something, so it was pretty neat.
Yeah, exactly. And so they've got the axe, and now you know it's going down.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe at some point Atreus are like, actually, that's a really impressive axe. Actually, theoretically, it could create a Bifrost. And you're like, oh, really? Won't that be convenient whenever it's convenient?
That's right. A really interesting thing.
You don't say. In the meantime, Doctor Strange, Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, and Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, have all arrived on Titan. They crash land.
Wait. I've been waiting to make this joke the whole podcast. Okay. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
They get ready for their attack on Titan. see what I did? Because they're on Titan. Oh, okay, never mind. It was a bad joke.
Well, you know, I respect your willingness to attempt at it. It was a good attempt.
Speaking of good attempts, let's get back to what we were talking about. So they're on Titan, and
the Guardians attack. They just gotten up. Doctor Strange used some cool little inside force field to prevent them all from dying from a spaceship crash, and then the Guardians roll in an attack. Comes kind of a stalemate, and they have a nice old "Who is Gamora? What is Gamora? Why is Gamora?" and it's pretty funny, little thing with Drax. And they realize that they all know Thor. They're all homies. They can do this. It'll all be fine. And they prepare a plan. I believe Tony Stark has one, but then Peter Quill's like, "No. Well, you need to use my plan because your plan kind of sucks.
Yeah.
If we use mine, we might just pull this off."
Right. Meanwhile, Doctor Strange is like, "Yeah. So I just viewed 14 million plus realities, and
there's only one scenario where this doesn't end horribly for all of us."
Hmm.
Which was a little not surprising, really. I mean, given how well Thanos has been wrecking shit and gathering stones like nobody's business.
He's a strong dude.
We also see. Yeah, he is. We also see Nebula escape the Chitauri ship, kill some Chitauri, and seemingly escape. We don't know if she's on a ship at the time, but it's imagined she is. Thanos arrives. I think that's next. I think Thanos arrives and talks to Doctor Strange, and the fight goes off. I think it's like Doctor Strange is sitting there like throwing a stone like in his hand or something, and then he's all like, "We," and Thanos is like, "We," and then of course Tony drops like a ship on him.
Yeah,
but you see him use like the Power Stone or Space Stone in advance. You see it light up, and he does like some kind of force field. But it's pretty cool. Spider-Man's coming in. Drax is probably around. Doctor Strange is doing a lot of stuff. Honestly, this movie showed that the person who had the biggest power jumps in the movie or the best showing were Thanos, Tony Stark, and Doctor Strange, but really it was Thanos and Doctor Strange.
I love Doctor Strange in this movie. I mean, I like Doctor Strange in any movie, but I really liked him in this movie.
It's kind of fair. Like, I'm not even mad because I know that a lot of these Avengers are going to retire soon, and historically in the comics, and I've read a lot of comics in the last 2 weeks, like a lot. Like, I am actually an expert now on comics. I have read so many pages, and one thing that I've noticed is Doctor Strange is like that. Oh, we don't know how to get out of this situation we've kind of written ourselves into. Why don't we just ask Doctor Strange to come and do some magic and kind of fix things?
Yeah.
And sadly, so often he does. It's ridiculous. Like, anytime they don't know how to resolve a story or a challenge, Doctor Strange comes and fixes the day with his infinite, brilliant surgeon medical knowledge and his brilliant space, I can do anything stuff. Like, Thor Ragnarok, when he kind of just made a teleporter to Odin, that was all right. But in this movie, he's doing, like, lightning bolt, lava stuff. He's doing, like,
he's throwing dimensions at people. Yeah, he's shadow cloning himself.
Cool. Like, a lot of shadow clones. Like, he is really cool in this. Spider-Man, I'm really glad they didn't overdo the Iron Spider. So they can still go back and, like, have him in the normal suit without everyone being like, "We just want to see the Iron Spider now." Like, they were really tasteful and smart about not overdoing that. And that was great.
Like, it helped, but it didn't steal the show.
Yeah. Drax, you don't see much of Drax and Mantis till later on in the fight. But what ends up happening is they're fighting him. And then Nebula comes in, and they're kind of fighting him to, like, a stalemate-ish, and then Nebula, like, comes in and, like, drops a ship. She comes out of the atmosphere, just like she did on Gamora, and drops a ship on him. Like, and it's cool. And she fights him, and they showed her fight him for a minute, and she was pretty good. Like, she was relatively formidable. I think when she fought there, she looked like a better fighter than Gamora, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just, I just think...
Well, I think really that, cool. I mean, if one thing's kind of been sussed out over, especially with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I mean, I would say that Gamora and Nebula are like equal footing. Maybe she is the better fighter legitimately at this point. She's definitely got all the bionic stuff going on that, like,
and she can like realign bones and
stuff. Yeah, so
but So what ends up happening, let's see if I can remember this right. All of them start using a combo. I think Drax comes in and slices through the back of Thanos' like right knee or something. And then Doctor Strange like lassos. I know at one point he had his cape on the glove so Thanos couldn't use it, like wrapping it up.
Right.
And then he comes in and uses the lasso and like grabs his arms. Spider-Man comes in and like nets up the right shoulder and that side. Then Iron Man comes in on the left arm and starts pulling on the glove. And then Mantis like gets dropped out of nowhere and like starts putting his ass under. And it is just amazing. And that's one thing. No offense, DC, EU. I mean, they got Superman. They got Batman. They got Wonder Woman. And they ain't shit! They ain't shit! But here's one thing that I have a real issue with. DC, EU, you have all these people. And Batman has a contingency plan to whoop everybody's ass. And yet they have no combos. These superheroes have no combos. They all have to be like the star. MCU, from the first Avengers movie onward, has had insane combos. I mean, even if it was Iron Man using his one repulse, double arm repulsor laser beam, and Captain America reflecting it through like a horde of Chitauri, or Thor using his hammer on Captain America's shield to create that shockwave, or anything really, just all kinds of stuff. That is one thing the MCU is great at, and that is combos, showing what they show in the comic books, and that's heroes using their stuff in great combos together.
Yep.
You know, and they did it here. Because there was no way that shit wouldn't have gone down if everyone hadn't been right on time. Then they drop Mantis at the last minute and have her just put him under. Like, they, otherwise, before she did that, they looked kind of good. They looked pretty good off. And then she came in, I'm like, oh, man. And if I hadn't, again, spoiled it for myself, I'm like, oh, well, dude, I guess they're wrapping up in one movie. I guess Avengers 4 will be Secret Wars. There we go. Okay, guys. You know, there we go. But
no.
Peter comes in and
gets emotional. He gets emotional. Catches feelings way too hard.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to know where Nebula is. And honestly, what Peter does next is...
No, Gamora.
Gamora, yeah. Nebula's there, though. Nebula looks super sad. And at this point, Mantis is like, he's mourning. He's in anguish. And they're like, what for? And Nebula does... Or not Nebula. Mantis doesn't say exactly why. Thanos is also really strong. Like, he's under, but he can still resist it enough to...
Right, and he's talking a little bit.
Conversations. Yeah. While kind of unconscious, it's interesting. Nebula says, oh my gosh, they went for the Soul Stone. If Gamora's in here, it's because she ain't alive. Yeah. Like, she's dead.
I just hear my inner Samuel Jackson telling Peter, be cool!
Oh yeah, yeah. And this whole time you hear Iron Man like, come on, chill, Mr. Lord, don't do it. You know, and everyone's like holding this dude back. Like, this guy's like 8 feet tall. You got Spider-Man and Iron Man trying to pull that glove off, and they making some headway. Like, you can see, like, palm, nearly, well, below the palm, you can see the wrist and everything. It's halfway off the hand, and Peter, like, realizes he killed Gamora, and Peter loses his shit. And again, I don't blame him, because when Ego said he put a tumor in Peter's mom's head, you know Peter did what Peter gonna do. Peter has no family left, Gamora's dead, and he has no cool when you kill his family.
Yeah, and Peter unleashes a super awesome, mega damaging blow to Thanos' face. Oh, wait, no, it was none of those things. All he did was screw up everything they had accomplished up to that point. Now, Great job, Peter.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will stress, everyone except Doctor Strange tries to dissuade him. And if you go back and watch it again, you'll notice this. Like, everyone's like, no, Quill, don't do it. Don't do it, man. And Doctor Strange almost leans out a little bit. Like,
right, he knows.
He does the most to not prevent this. And that's, again, I think this is really hinting at there's only one way this can go down.
And right,
that's,
and that part happen.
Is painful. And, I mean, you may not notice that on the first viewing, but on a second, you'll definitely see, and you'll be like, shit. Well, this sucks. I mean, for a movie, you understand. I mean, I'm sure by
I noticed Avengers it 4, in the moment.
So mad.
I definitely noticed it in the moment because
Strange... Everyone's like, whoa, man.
Strange isn't the type of guy that... If he thought it was smart, he wouldn't be saying something, you know? So.
Oh, for sure. Quill hits Thanos. That knocks him just enough out of that Mantis-assisted stupor.
And then it's over.
And he starts whooping ass.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He literally... Okay, so his hand... I'm going to say maybe the knuckles through fingers are still in the glove. The sleeve of the glove. He grabs the glove. He, like, in one motion, like, yanks it back out of Parker's hands... throws Mantis, like, to another area code. And then Peter, like, bails, like, oh, crap, I gotta save her. Puts the glove back on and starts wrecking havoc on these people. And this is where I think Iron Man starts trying to fight him.
And Iron Man is like, oh crap, I gotta pull up big guns. He starts doing that bleeding edge. He starts doing combos. He starts doing the weighted things to hit hard. And he manages to draw a little bit of blood. And then Thanos gets all pissed and drops, like, half the moon. He, like, breaks the entire surface. He breaks the outer two layers and, like, drops it. Like, if you
saw, I know we've seen it before.
Yeah, the D23 trailer that leaked.
It was so good still, though.
And you kind of shit yourself. I'm not going to lie. You do. At the same time as this, I think this is where they switch back to Wakanda. In the meantime, Shuri's trying to fix up Vision, get that stone out of his head.
We all knew that wasn't happening.
Yeah, she tried. She's doing all right. She's doing well. But, I mean, it's like, I think a billion different, like, things she has to do one by one. So it's not going to be the most successful. Yeah, so Thanos' army arrives with Proxima Midnight and Cole Obsidian and Corvus Glaive. I want to stress, I don't know how the hell Cole Obsidian got from wherever in Antarctica that Wong left him handless back to Wakanda. Wakanda's a pretty remote place. I don't know how he did it.
I guess we'd assume
it
that,
happened.
I guess we'd assume that they have some way
because
to track him and
aliens
pick him
and
up.
Space and
because reasons.
Vibranium. Vibranium. It happens somehow. It happens. He's there. Proxima shows the most development she has as a character in the movie by saying mean, threatening things to unfazed Captain America. Wakanda has an awesome force field. And yeah, the Outriders come pouring out looking like six-armed panther monsters / xenomorphs, and it's pretty cool. They look pretty badass. Better than the Ultron bots and better than the Chitauri.
I agree.
And you see all the footage from the Wakanda pre-battle stuff where I think, what is it? T'Challa's like saying in Swahili, hold fast or something.
Right. And then I love that. I was looking at some stuff. I went back and looked at some trailers, and definitely Green Hulk was in the trailers. So I like how they did a little bit of misdirection there. Because we did not get Green Hulk, but you got Hulk in his badass Hulkbuster armor, or you got Banner in his badass Hulkbuster armor.
He falls. It's funny.
Yeah.
I love how Okoye, like, when they're riding out before this battle, Okoye is looking at all these people like, who the hell are these dumb mofos? And Bruce's like, I think I got the hang of it. And then, like, face plants in the Hulk armor. She's like, who is this dumb? And it's funny because she's like, what did we just get ourselves into? Who are all these people? And again, understand that I don't think Okoye is super familiar with all the Avengers. I mean, because they were big time into this, like, non-involved.
They were very isolationist.
So
yeah.
I'm sure they know about the Chitauri attack because nobody could have missed it. But for some reason, I think sometimes they don't realize how real all the stuff that's gone on and how legit these people can be.
Yeah.
Is. War Machine and Sam are on flying, and they actually seem to have built up a rapport again. I didn't really see any, like,
hard feelings.
Gradual. Yeah. Like, I knew that Sam really hated Tony Stark and War Machine at the end of Civil War, but still gave Tony the location that the Winter Soldier and Captain America were going to, so I didn't really know what to expect there, but they were seem to be hitting it off really well, just out of nowhere. I'm not going to say anything racially, you know, motivated here about why, you know, homie brothers just sticking together, but, you know, it happens, so, you know, it is what it is. Battle starts. The Outriders come charging up towards the force field and are melting through it. It's the weirdest thing. Like, they're fighting through it, but then they'll just get, like, destroyed, and they don't even seem to care. It's nuts.
Yeah, they're like lemmings, just like, yeah,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool. It was like it really told you these guys are legit. Like, these things are...
They DGAF.
Yeah,
they, for
they
sure.
Did not give zero fucks. And I think Captain America and Black Panther are like, oh, God, they're just going to go around it and attack the city. We can't have this, so let's open it up. And let's all charge because we got to have some heroic stuff.
Right.
Everyone starts charging. We got Wakandan soldiers, Dora Milaje. We have Hulk in the Hulkbuster probably charging, but I don't recall him in this. And the coolest thing is you see all these people charging like crazy in their African garb with their spears towards alien hordes of panther monsters. And then you see Black Panther and Captain America split off and gain ground on everyone else, leap over the river and just go in hard.
Yep.
And I got shivers, and I'm getting shivers right now. And it was so cool because you got to see how that super soldier serum and that heart-shaped herb is just, it gives you a little bit more in the way of jets.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because they would have been legitimately, like, Winter Soldier isn't as fast or strong as Captain America. He's pretty legit, but he isn't going to be that fast. Plus, he's got a gun, so he has no reason to, like, rush in with an AK or whatever it is. But,
yeah,
you know, it was really cool. And then in the meantime, Corvus Glaive attacks. He goes in, beats up Vision, Shuri. Everyone in there kills some Wakandans. No face, red shirt Wakandans.
Yeah.
And then I think he's going for Vision, and that's about to happen. In the meantime, people are getting their butts kicked down there. A lot of Outriders are getting killed in Wakanda. That's going.
So much going on at this point in the movie.
I know what happens. I just don't know the order.
It doesn't matter. We don't have to be. I mean, at this point, we're at the climax of the movie. Okay. You can just skip around.
So Proxima gets killed. Proxima gets killed by Scarlet Witch. It's really sad because there's this great fight where Okoye and Black Widow are fighting Proxima, and you're like, oh yeah, but then like, and it's interesting because I think it starts with like her knocking Scarlet Witch out and then fighting the other two, but then Scarlet Witch resolves it after they've already beaten her up, and I think her like green blood or guts or blue blood and guts like hit Black Widow, and she goes, gross.
Yeah.
She's like, this is disgusting. And she's like, got her face, I'm like, that was some Joss Whedon level quippy humor. I didn't think we got that.
A little comic anymore. Relief in the midst of a battle.
But you know, it's fine. I mean, it's there's nothing wrong with Joss Whedon humor. It was pretty good back in the day. Yeah. He used to do it right.
At some point, Thor comes in just like a big old badass and just starts lighting shit up.
Oh yeah, they did that quintessential Lord of the Rings. All the heroes are kind of pinned down by Outriders. The Hulkbuster's getting torn the hell up because these dudes mob the Hulkbuster and they're ripping it up. They're dent in the face. Bruce can barely see through it. And Thor comes in and does like, so if you remember Dark World, remember how he can like throw his weapon before he's like fully like apparated? Yeah. So he literally throws and it boomerangs around and starts destroying all the Outriders. So Captain America, all the guys on him, all the guys on Bucky, all the guys on Black Panther, all the guys on Hulkbuster all get wrecked in a second. He comes and catches it. Rocket jumps off his back or something, cocks his little space shotgun, and Groot's like ready to kick some ass for God knows what reasons. I think he lost the Space Invaders game. That's really sad. Quill doesn't have a lot of things left, and Groot losing Space Invaders breaks my heart. And then they go charge, and we get that rousing Avengers theme music as he's like, bring me Thanos! You know, and just like wrecks half the Outrider army with one hammer. Nope, not hammer. Axe drop. He does like this axe drop, you know, with that jump that he always does. He all surge with that electricity, wrecks it.
He's flying through spaceships. He is blowing nuts. Up.
Yeah, he actually does. He wrecks spaceships. Like, they needed something for him to do when they had other stuff happening for plot reasons. And yeah, in the meantime, of course, Clive gets killed. Vision, I think, gets stabbed again once or twice. Captain America helps him, but Vision impales him with his own spear. Proxima Midnight gets shredded by these other razor blade kind of ship things that I don't know. They had a lot of stuff, but it was better than the Rhinos and Black Panther.
They brought lots of toys to play with.
Yeah, they brought lots of stuff. Cole Obsidian gets killed by Bruce because he can't get Hulk to
come out. Which was awesome.
He keeps having performance issues with the Hulk. It's hilarious.
It happens to lots of guys.
Maybe. If you say so. You say so. Anyway, it happens to some guys, and that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, even Dr. Banner, even the Avengers.
Yeah, I guess it seems that way.
It was more than seeming that way.
He's like, oh, we gotta talk, man. You're doing me dirty right now. Why are you doing this to me? Yeah, it was bad stuff. So he like hits Cole Obsidian with the Hulkbuster fist. He like sticks it on his arm, punches it to make the repulsor go off, and it launches him into the force field and cooks his ass.
That was so amazing.
Frick sees him. And that was my favorite only time, death. Yeah, that was the only time he made a noise over a snore. He's like, ah! And just like burns up.
Actually, I'm going to rescind that. Not my favorite death. Ebony, my second Squidward favorite after Ebony Maw. Ebony Maw.
All right.
But anyways.
Not Loki? Oh, that's too soon, huh?
Oh, man. The fact that I actually felt bad when Loki, I'm going to use air quotes here, died.
You never know with him.
Yeah, because I really don't know. But anyways.
That's probably a wrap. Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of artifacts they're going to get their hands
on. He is the god of trickery, after all. I don't know.
Thanos said no more resurrections, so. I always want to know how Thanos resurrected him. Like, what went into it? Because he looked messed up at the end of Thor when he was all dented up after Thanos just revived him. But he looks fine in Avengers, and I really want to know how Thanos did it. Because you have resurrections before you have an Infinity Stone. I'm a little curious about that. Maybe he used the Power Stone. No, he didn't have the Power Stone. Whatever. Anyway, we'll find out someday. We'll figure out what's up.
Sure.
So,
yeah, he cooks. Banner cooks him. And then
Banner cooks him. And then back on Titan. Thanos has dropped a moon on everybody. Tony's trying to do the most. He's fighting him in the Bleeding Edge armor, and he's doing, like, all these combos. Like, he'll roundhouse him, and he'll create, like, these megaton weights.
Thanos tries to punch him. He, like, stomps his foot down, creates, like, this seal on it, and then just slugs him with all the force he got. And Thanos gets cut on the cheek. This is one of those DBZ Bleach, all those shonen anime you've ever seen moments when the hero finally puts one dent on the villain. He's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And this was like when Hulk spit out the tooth when Iron Man just dropped him through a building. And he's like, please don't hurt me. You know, like, you're like, literally, you realize how deep this power scales. And Thanos isn't really using the gauntlet much, to be honest. He's just using his, he's just using them fists he got. You know, he got hands. Thanos got hands for real.
Yeah.
He'll
throw them too.
Yeah. He's dropped the moon, and Iron Man's like, I swear to God, if you drop another moon on me, I'm going to, you know, and he's trying the most. Spider-Man's just saving Drax and Mantis and everyone else who got whooped when Thanos got that glove back.
Yep.
I don't know where everyone else is. So this is where it gets interesting. Thanos decides to start fighting Tony Stark. Tony Stark does not do well when Thanos tries, and he breaks off Tony's sword and impales him. Pales him under the heart, somewhere in, like, the side. It's pretty low in the abdomen, but it's pretty deep. It's no joke. Like, it's through. It's a pretty significant one. And this is when, had I, again, not spoiled it, I probably would have had the fear in me, because we all thought that Tony Stark and Steve Rogers are going to die. And this is where you're like, oh, shit. Like, I want you to actually weigh in this, because you didn't spoil it, I'm presuming.
Right.
So when you saw this, you probably thought this was a legitimate Tony going to eat it moment.
I mean, Tony is such a central character. I just wasn't sure. You know, I knew he was in trouble, but at least he didn't die, like, immediately. So I was kind of thinking, all right, well, he's still in the game, but he's just not a factor anymore. Mm-hmm. They left me wondering, you know. It was just enough drama. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't sure. Well, and then we're about to get to the end here, but we'll go into what happens.
So Thanos is about to kill him. This is when Thanos has some of the coolest lines that he's got left. You know, and he said a lot. He said a lot of cool shit. Let's just be real. Thanos says...
Oh, yeah.
Like, whew.
Josh Brolin was an amazing choice for Thanos.
It's weird. You know, in hindsight, I couldn't think anyone that could have done it better.
Yeah.
I really don't. Thanos says... when he's fighting Tony before, he says Stark. And he's like, you know me. He's all like... And this is where you realize... This is subtle. I mean, I don't know if you can see the glowing, but he's using the Soul Stone. Like, he knows of Stark because Stark wrecked his... Earth invasion plans, but with the Soul Stone, he has knowledge all stones, and he's like, I know who Tony Stark is. You're burdened with, you like me are burdened with knowledge, and it was just, that gave me goosebumps. And then now he's like, you know what, after I'm done, half of humanity will be left, I hope they remember you. And he's about to kill him. He literally takes that glove, and you start seeing all those stones light up. He about to just vaporize him. And this is where Doctor Strange begs for his life, and he's like, hold on, no, wait a minute. I will give you the stone, just don't kill him. And it really freaked me out, because Tony looks like he's toast regardless. Doctor Strange's like, don't do it, please don't kill him, I'll give you the stone. And he's like, no more tricks, wizard? Because, you know, Doctor Strange had all the tricks. Like, he had all the spell slots, he had all the tricks
for days. All the sorcery points.
Yeah, he had the inspiration points too. He was really doing well with his spells. Like, Thanos was resisting as well as he could with the stones, but Thanos didn't really have an answer to which the spellcraft. And he's like, just don't kill him. And it's weird, because you remember when Doctor Strange on the ship tells Peter Parker, and he's like, you know what? If it comes down to you guys and the stone, I ain't saving you guys. The stone is the priority. You guys will just have to die.
Right.
And so now that he's literally trying to bargain, but again, because he loves to bargain for Tony's life, it's just the craziest thing. And then
the context clue is that I think he's still staying true to his word. I think he is ultimately protecting
that endgame that he mentions. Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
He's seen what's going to happen. He knows this is the only way to protect the stone.
Yeah, it was a really amazing scene, because again, he said he wouldn't do it. And this wasn't like when M'Baku and Black Panther's like, we ain't coming to help you guys. You're like, oh, you punk ass mother, you know, I know you are. I saw it on your face. You all trying to keep a straight face, you gorilla chanting idiot. But no, he legit. And it's cool, because he plucks it out, the constellation. Like, you see the stars behind them just in the background. He literally takes his hand out and just plucks it out. And it's just, what the hell is that? Like, you're just hiding it right there. Like, how does that? Yeah, it was, I don't know. I'm sorry. It was just really cool to me. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that was going to happen. And he gives it to Thanos. Thanos puts it in and then leaves. And Tony's like, oh, my God. And then Peter comes out of God only knows wherever he got thrown when Thanos dropped the moon. He goes, oh, my God, did we just lose, guys? And
I don't blame anyone who didn't want to choke him at that moment, because anything Peter says post screwing up that, even if it had to happen that way, really grinds your gears.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone's disappointed in Peter. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's about where Titan stuff ends. In the meantime, let's go back to Wakanda. Thanos pretty much shows up. I think Vision gets one more headache, like, oh crap, he's coming. And yep. Then all of a sudden you start seeing that really slow space stone portal open, you know, yep. So everyone can, like, rally over there and see what's up. And Captain America's, like, looking at him, and it's convenient Hulk, Bruce Banner's over there, and the Hulkbuster's like, Tony, that's him, because he emerges, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, him emerging in Titan was cool and all, but this was like, oh, no.
Yeah, now you're like, oh, God, what's going to happen? He got the time
stone. This is getting a lot more complicated now. He got 5 stones. This is no joke. I mean, it was never a joke, but as soon as he had 2, it was already a wrap, pretty much. And everyone starts running towards him to attack him, and he's just slapping homies aside. Like, he's
like,
just,
they're little brothers and sisters.
He is slapping 18 other movies from the MCU aside like they're just, I don't know, the Green Lantern movie. Like, he's just slapping it aside like, nope, none of that, nope, none of that. Just
yep. Land the smack down.
Oh, yeah. And then it's interesting because Captain Steve Rogers, you know, Captain America, holds him back for a sec. Like, he tries to punch him or grab him or hit him with his Infinity Gauntlet, and Steve's literally grabs his, holding him back. And you see, and this is interesting, I've seen this scene like 4 other times because I had to hit YouTube. I couldn't go to the movies every time to see this scene. And Thanos has like 4 different facial expressions that come across. First, it's like nothing, no reaction, because I think he's kind of stunned. Then suddenly he gets this look, like grimacing, like, crap, I actually can't take him with this one hand. And then he's, like, stunned, like, who the hell is this dude? Yeah. And then he's like, oh, man, I'm going to have to use my other fist. And you see him make the slowest of fists and get it ready, like anime, and then just knock Steve out. And, yeah, he uses a lot of random, unexplained Infinity Stone powers to knock him run out. Groot captures him, which is cool. Hulk gets put in rock, which is cool. So you're seeing, this is one of those times when they show a lot of the different things it can do, and it's pretty awesome.
Right, they're really showcasing the power of the gauntlet. Oh,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, and I appreciated that. In the meantime, Wanda and Scarlet Witch and Vision are having a scene, and he's telling her, you have to destroy this. He cannot get this. He's getting closer. And basically, all these Avengers that are charging him are just trying to slow him down so Wanda can do it. I mean, not technically, because Steve says we don't trade lives, but that's pretty much what it looks like nonetheless.
At this point, it's come to that.
Yeah, and I hate to say this, but in hindsight, that was a very sweet romantic moment when he's all like, when she's like using, he's like, I don't feel pain, I don't feel fear, all I feel is you. And I'm like, oh, that shit, this is making this right. tough. I'm starting to feel for this stupid robot.
He tells her their time is out.
Yeah, that was an ironic thing for him to say, all things considered. But yeah, she destroys him right before Thanos gets there, and she's using like her powers to hit Thanos with whatever. I don't know what these beams are. These are new to me. She has new powers in every movie, and, you know, that's cool. But she's using, like, a red beam at Thanos. I guess maybe it's a infinite stream of hex bolts. I don't really know. It's kind of made-up stuff she doesn't have. And then she's hitting Vision, destroys the stone before he gets there. And then she, like, collapses and just, like, all the emotions of what just happened. And then Thanos, like, comes up and pats her head and says something. He's like, you know, this has been a long day, and I've lost a lot today. But something, and then it makes it
right. He has some empathy for
some cheesy time illusion in there, and it's done really well.
Well, and I think one thing that's interesting here is Thanos is kind of the only person that can have empathy for her at this point, right? He killed Gamora to get the stone, like,
and his children. He probably cared about the children of Thanos to some degree because he was, you know, like, I mean.
It's just another way that they made him relatable. Yeah. I think they did a great job.
Like, pats her head or messes with her hair for a minute. Totally not creepy, actually, in this moment. And then I knew this, and I have to ask, did you know the time stone was coming up immediately?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, like, I didn't watch any spoilers or anything. But you
just picked it up.
You know what, in my mind, I was thinking, all right, Prince of Persia, here we go.
Sands of time, yeah. And he turns it back, and this was one of the really cool effects. And I'll say this, Infinity War doesn't have any, like, really bad effects other than maybe Peter Dinklage as Atri, because you can tell it's on a green screen. You can tell they edited him into being next to everyone, but this looks great. You see a slow motion rewind of Vision being destroyed, and you literally see, like, all these disparate parts, like, coming back together slowly, and then the stone. It's just the craziest thing, and it's also really disturbing because he literally does it and then grabs him by the face and tears the stone back out.
So sinister. Yeah.
Oh yeah. In the meantime, I need to stress, Thor is not around. He's been destroying Thanos's Outrider ships.
Yep.
So that's super relevant. He puts the stone in that scene. I'd already seen it, but that scene, like, put all the shivers in me, because seeing him put the sixth one and him going, ah, you know, it was all that energy's coursing, it freaks you out. He puts it in and gets hit by lightning. Like, he gets hit by all the lightning. As soon as he, like, as soon as he's making that, he doesn't even get a chance to react before Thor hits him with all the lightning. Like, just fries him.
Puts an axe in his chest.
Yeah, and then he hits him with a beam, and it looks like just all the stone beam, but Thor literally overhanded, two hands over his head like a katana, takes the axe and throws it, like boomerang style, straight at him. But not boomerang, just like throws it, you know, two hands, like some, I don't even know, what would you call that?
Like, no, that's how you throw, like, if you go to, like, if you ever want to learn how to, like, throw axes, that's the technique you're supposed to use. That overhand, isosceles, triangle kind of.
That's what Thor does. He does the isosceles triangle axe throw, and it actually has more force behind it than Thanos's, I'm guessing, six stone infinity beam of doom or whatever.
Yeah.
And it embeds straight through Thanos's heart, hits him in the body, and you're like, whoa. And again, I spoiled this, so I didn't know how this was going to go. And actually, I'm going to let you take over. Because someone who didn't spoil the crap out of it probably has much better perspectives on these.
Yeah.
These
couple so things. I'm over here just like, I'm just like, oh my god, like, I think Thor just saved the day. Like, holy shit.
I guess we're finishing this in one movie.
And then you hear him go, "You should have aimed for my head."
Hold on. Didn't he take his time though? Wasn't he theatrical? Didn't he use?
Well, I mean, I'm not like, gonna act it out.
Thor cupped his. Didn't Thor like cup his head like as he's pushing the axe deeper into his body?
Right. They did the thing where like.
I told you I was gonna do this when you effed me up.
Right. He did the thing that I get so frustrated at in movies, which is he didn't double tap him. You know what I mean? It's like. It's like if this wasn't
a
movie.
This is PG-13. He ain't double tapping crap. It's an axe.
Well, I'm just saying, like, well, axes literally chop people's head off. You know, it's like, that's kind of what axes are known for.
Also, PG, it's still owned by the mouse.
I get it. I'm just frustrated that he.
Fair.
So, I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, like, for a minute, I'm like, all right, like Thor, my man.
And then he's trying to talk.
Yeah, then they start talking, and I'm like, oh, no.
Thanos, like, you should have. And he plays it out. I don't know if he's playing it out, because that's a weird part, because he's like, and he's kind of, I think he's being theatrical.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's, I don't know if he's being theatrical.
Well, this is like when Gamora, like, thought she stabbed him, and he really played it up before he revealed that it wasn't him all along.
I don't think it was the same. I think that super badass axe was embedded deep within his guts.
Yeah, when Thor started pushing it deeper, he seemed like that was a real axe. It didn't seem fake. This guy was not CG. This was, oh man, this guy, you know, he's...
Yeah.
I can't imagine how painful it is to have someone push an axe deeper into your body, but it looked painful, and he says, you know what? You should have gone for the head. And I was like, man, this is like some diehard level badassery. Like, you should have. And as Johnny said, you know, you should have double tapped.
Yeah, should have double tapped him. We all know what happens next. He snaps those
raises
fingers.
Raises that hand, and Thor goes, no! And the screen fades white. He's in the Soul Stone. Child Gamora says, did you do it? He's like, yeah. She basically says, but at what cost?
Everything.
Yeah, and that part, again, gave you shivers. Then you go back, and you see that the Infinity Gauntlet is smoking. And I'm thinking this is from the snap, because it wasn't really meant to handle all this, because, you know, I mean, maybe the dwarves make substandard product. I don't know. The axe seemed great. Maybe
yeah, they just, I was about to say the axe.
Maybe they just, their
good.
Heart and souls weren't into making this stupid gauntlet, but they certainly were for the axe. And it is smoking. And Thor's like, what did you do? He opens a portal behind him. The axe falls out and he disappears. And all of a sudden, people start turning to dust. Yeah. And then, and you see everyone turn to dust. Peter tore me up.
I mean, you know, they start turning to dust. I mean, you get a lot of emotional moments here.
I wish Bucky's had been longer.
Well, I mean, Rocket with Groot was super sad.
I found out what Rocket said, or not Rocket, what Groot says. So Groot says, I am Groot one more time as he's fading away. And James Gunn, because he can't stay off Twitter, actually admitted that what Groot was saying was father to Rocket. Yeah, sorry. Put some tears in your eyes before we finish up.
Yeah, they, James Gunn is like almost a troll. He just, oh my God.
Yeah, just playing with our heartstrings.
He just, man.
I feel like Black Panther, you think he's going to make it? You think it's about to be
Okoye?
He
starts lifting up Okoye. Yeah, and he's all like, this isn't, you shouldn't,
this isn't a place to die or yeah, something. This isn't the place to die.
And as he's lifting her, you see someone turned it and it's him. And she gets dropped halfway up when he's picking her up because he turns and... Yeah, that was
after
definitely
all
subversion.
She's gone through to protect him and yeah. And all the things she's seen him go through as her king now and ugh.
Yeah. Which sucks because yeah, that's a really
I mean practically everyone on Titan, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Super high ratio there of people.
Quill,
dusting.
Drax, Mantis, Peter Parker, which killed me.
I mean, well,
and Doctor Strange.
And I mean, let's admit it, like Peter's was that I was so in shock that I kind of wasn't emotional for the other ones, even though they were very emotional.
I knew that was happening. Parts. And that part, spoiling it, did not ruin it. It still tore me the hell up. I mean, even though I know there's already a slated scheduled sequel to Homecoming, that part scared me. That reminded me of like Death of Peter Parker, the ultimate imprint. Like that was insane.
Yeah.
Tony Stark is destroyed. He nearly died. He barely patched himself up. He thought he was gonna die, and now half everyone died, and his surrogate son has died. It's weird because as I said, you know, he was telling Pepper, I really want to have a kid, and all of a sudden his son is dead. So he's basically failed everyone in his perspective.
Right.
And, you know, since Quill faded, I mean, there's no good old scapegoat at the moment, so, you know.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange left without a word. That sucked. Like, he had said it was the only way, but he left without a word. And that part scared me the most, because I need some Doctor Strange wisdom in them last moments just to make me feel better, but there
nothing.
Was none.
We're all alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, half of the universe is dead.
And Thanos wakes up in some kind of little Thailand hut on some planet, enjoys a nice sunset, fade to black, sad-ass version of the Avengers credits. Yeah, that's a wrap.
And then, of course, we would be remiss to not talk about the cutscene.
Post-credit stinger. The only one. There's only one, you know, so.
And
it's at the very end of the credits, too. They made you wait. And that Infinity War, when they do that mid-credits Infinity War title, just plain old black letters.
So good.
Times New Roman.
Going to
dust.
Oh.
When they pour it in, shit.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Turns out they know how to make a good movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get Nick Fury.
Maria Hill.
Taking in the sights and sounds and tragedy
chaos
of half of the population disappearing. We've got aircraft falling out of the sky, driverless cars. Ugh.
And Nick realizes there's something wrong just soon enough. He heads for the back seat. As he's reaching for the device he's looking for, Maria starts to fade. He starts moving faster. He pulls out this old...
grabs the Nextel.
Piece of crap. three pagers put together with some weird old tubing and wiring with a little funny screen on it thing. And he sends out a call. As he's fading, he's all like, motherfucker. And he fades, and his hand is the last thing to go, and you see it push the last button on there, and then you see the device. They zoom in on the device. You see it say sending, or calling, or whatever, something.
Yep.
Transmissioning, I don't know. And then it says connected, and you see the Holostar pop up. And
we then, are getting Captain Marvel,
followed by the red and blue, and, you know, we all know it's going to be okay, because Carol Danvers is coming, and hopefully she's cool, but I know we're all going to Captain Marvel now, you know?
So, yeah, what a ride. Amazing movie. I mean, what's your final thought?
I'm probably going to go see it again next week.
We should. I'll go with you.
Probably see it on a Tuesday, because what else do we do on Tuesdays? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Besides this. Yeah. but, yeah, we'll probably go see it again. I loved it. I thought Rocket was really great, especially his moments with Thor. There was a lot of further development. I think Gamora developed a lot. I hope they have some loophole to bring her back. Because, you know, a lot of emotional range is really valuable.
Sure.
Especially with the characters. I mean, because they can be entertaining, but actually having that depth of the characters really helps. Especially, I mean, you know, and the villains have been great lately. Thanos is probably the best villain. He's the best villains as of this moment are probably Killmonger, Vulture, and Thanos, and only two of them are still alive.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to say villains have gotten a lot better. The action was great. The only people that are still around are the original Avengers, sans Hawkeye, because we can't see him. I find it interesting. If Ant-Man and Wasp survive this culling,
then we'll actually have all of the original Avengers from the first issue.
Mm.
Because not being the main three, all the same, Ant-Man and Wasp were of the original, like, six, I believe. So it would be really cool if we get all of them. Now, I suspect the Wasp will, like, fade or something. I don't think we're getting both of them. I think, but we know we'll have Ant-Man.
Okay.
But yeah, thanks so much for listening to it. We had a lot of fun going over the whole movie. This movie's insane. It's probably going to be the biggest movie of all time.
If you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing?
Go see it twice. Go see it three times. Hit us up in the comments. Tell us what you thought of it. You know, thanks so much for listening. If you love this, give it a like. Follow us. All right, take it easy.
Peace.